Turn your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I want to read, looks like about the first 8 verses, what I wrote down. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. I'm just going to stop right there. I'm not going to get that far, but. A couple of asides before I really get started. I always stop whenever I see Christ say the first 2 words of this chapter. I am. Those 2 words have caused more trouble than you'll ever believe half the time. He's speaking to his disciples here, so that's no problem. But I checked using Strong's Concordance, and these are the same 2 words he used in John chapter 8 when he was speaking to the Pharisees in the temple. I am. The first word is ego. I am. Now, whenever Christ speaks, when Christ spoke these words to his disciples and to the Pharisees in John chapter 8, those words had the desired effect. And the reason I know those words had the desired effect is because Christ spoke them. Whenever he says anything, whenever he said anything that is recorded here in the scriptures, it had the desired effect. Now, some people may not like the desired effect, but his word never returns unto him void. Ever. In John chapter 8, he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said unto him, now this is the Pharisees, in the temple, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly, for real, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Not I was, I am. Guess what happened? Then they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Before Abraham was, I am. Welcome to religion. Now, speaking to his people, he'll use that word, I am, and we won't have a single problem with it. Because before Abraham was, I am. If you believe his word, you don't have a problem with his word. And that's the problem the Pharisees had. That's the problem the world has with what we say here when we're talking about this book. I am the true vine. When you actually come to understand a little bit about what that means, you'll find out religious people hate that too. Anything Christ said about himself, religious people don't like. Not when they come to understand, or if you can explain the reality, the context, the actual message that Christ preached about himself and his work. The religious world won't have it. And they think you're calling them a liar. Sometimes I am. Sometimes I'll just tell them they're mistaken. Try to be nice about it. Well, see, people really take offense if you call them a heretic. But that's what some people are. Because if you're preaching heresy, that kind of puts you in the category of heretic. And if you're preaching against Jesus Christ being the Christ of God, the Son of God, you're preaching heresy. Good and bad, Christ spoke what he meant, where he meant to say it. Christ spoke to these Pharisees and to his disciples with words they would understand. That's why some of them wanted to stone him and some of them didn't. His disciples were there when he was teaching in the temple. And when he said, before Abraham was, I am, they didn't have a problem with it. But others did. Christ spoke harshly with the religious, but he speaks words of comfort to his disciples. And that's what these words are here. These are to his disciples who he'd been speaking to in chapter 14. He's continuing on. He spoke kindly to lepers. He spoke kindly to the sick. And he spoke kindly to certain tax collectors. But he always speaks words of comfort, even though sometimes it's words of warning, to his chosen people. And here he states this statement, I am the true vine. And when I read this, now, I don't know about you guys, but I have a seemingly infinite capacity for paranoia and negativity at times. I try not to let it out much. It's true. Now, that's about me, though.
They have pills for it.
I can't talk to a psychiatrist because they might try to lock me up. Well, you know, when you go and you tell somebody, no, I don't believe in accidents. You know the old insurance joke, right? Well, where a tree branch falls on a guy's car, he says, I'm sorry, we can't cover that. That's an act of God. He says, what are you talking about? Only God can make a tree. And the branch falls off on it. It's God's fault. Actually, it's true. A sparrow doesn't fall without my heavenly Father. Not without him knowing, without him. It doesn't happen. So I wouldn't be much of an insurance adjuster. Nobody would get paid. I'd have to be using somebody else's definitions and not mine. But you go trying to explain that to some secular person who's also trained in psychiatry, and yeah, they would want to put me on drugs. And the bad part about that is, you know, drugs really work on me. Because I don't take them. Anyhow. That being said, I have a suspicion here that the speaker, Jesus Christ, has given to me to imply by his words that there may be other vines out there that aren't the true vine. That's why he's this specific. I am the true vine. Now, I know there is only one God. I know there is only one gospel. I also know there is only one vine. But there are people out there everywhere who talk about another vine. Which, just like another gospel, it is not another gospel. It is not the gospel. It is not the true vine. But that's why he is being specific here in this case. There are those who speak a perverted gospel, which speaks of a perverted vine and not the true vine. In verse 5, he brings it down. He's still specific. He says, I am the vine. Not a vine, the vine. The true vine. Singular. But he introduces it here, calling himself the true vine. Now, to continue on, he says, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, I looked this, you know, in the Greek, through Strong's Concordance, and it comes up land worker, farmer. Christ is giving us a metaphor here of something his disciples do something of. Everybody at this time, a lot of people, if you didn't grow your own food, you didn't eat. Or you grew something and sold it and bartered it for something else. People knew about gardening, they knew about farming, and that's why he used this at this time. The farmer is in charge of the vineyard. He's in charge of the vine and the branches. The Son is the life, and the Father is the keeper. We have in this verse both the work of the Son and the Father, as told to us by the Son of God. The Father is in charge of the garden. God is in control of the garden. God is in control of this world. And God is in control of what grows and what doesn't grow, and what he plants and what he doesn't plant, and what he uproots. You ain't going to hear that anywhere else. Well, there's a few places. The Father is the husbandman. He is the land worker. Without the farmer, there is no vine. There is no branches. There is no fruit. There is no food. He's the one that plants. He's the one that sows. He's the one that cares for the vine and the branches. Amen. They call it husbanding because it's to take care of it. And my Father is the husbandman. And when the Father of the Son of God is the husbandman, that garden's going to do pretty good. You can't talk about anything else other than his part of it. His garden, his plants, his vine, his branches, and the fruit thereon. That's going to be good stuff. Now, you go from that positive statement to a negative statement. Every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Go from two positive statements, one about the Son and one about the Father, and then we go to a negative. And it's a scary statement. Every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And the reason this is scary to me is because this is another one of those words that the first time I look at it, like the word commandment, I think of the wrong thing when I see fruit. Now, y'all may not have this problem. I don't know. But I know what the world thinks of as fruit. And I know the first thought that comes into my head, and it's the wrong one. Pretty much always. That's why we believe in repetition as far as preaching. Because we forget. Christ's disciples forget, and he's the one that told them this stuff. But he sent the comforter to say, he's going to take the things of mine and show them to you. And he'll do it again and again and again because we need it again and again and again. When I see the word fruit, I immediately think of the wrong thing. Now, I blame this on listening to the wrong people speak when I was younger. Well, it is partially their fault. The rest of it's in me. But this is what is known all around this religious world. When you hear fruit, people think works. That's what they think. That's what I think. And I'm wrong most of the time. But luckily, sometimes I have another think coming. Because of God's grace and his word. It is my nature to think of fruit incorrectly. It is man's nature to think of fruit incorrectly. Every branch that beareth not fruit, whatever this fruit is, he takes it away. Why? Because he is the husbandman. Farmers don't grow crops for decoration. They're looking for results. And the results is in the form of fruit. Whether it be nut. Here we're talking about a vine. I make the assumption, I'll freely admit that, I'm thinking of grapevines. Because that's what these people knew. And that's what these people grew. You don't grow a grapevine for decoration. You grow it to get the grapes. And that's what the farmer's looking for, is the fruit. And if the branch doesn't bring forth fruit, it's taking up space. And it's going to be removed. Now, I'm going to talk about the fruit here now, where it says, every branch that beareth fruit, he purges, that it may bring forth more fruit. This fruit, whatever it is not of others or in others. This fruit is of the branch. Amen. It's of the branch. One branch bears its fruit. Another branch bears its fruit. A third branch bears its fruit. It's individual. My fruit is on my branch. Your fruit is on your branch.
Yeah.
His fruit is on his branch. Her fruit is on her branch. My branch is not helping your branch make fruit. Because your fruit is your fruit. It's on your branch. And I'll tell you this right now. My branch, my fruit, is not making other branches. That's the problem I had with that sign down there in Daniel's the other day. It was gone last week, by the way. It said that we train disciples to be disciple makers. That's a lie. In their case, it might be a delusion. But it's still a lie. They think that's the fruit. No, my fruit's on my branch. I'm not making more branches. I'm not making any more vines. I'm just here to make fruit. My fruit. You're here to make your fruit. You're here to make your fruit. They're wrong when they think they can make anybody a disciple. They're wrong if they think they can train somebody to make disciples, because that is the husbandman's job.
That's right.
And that's why I called it last week what it is: hubris. A little bit of that lie of Satan. You should be like God. Only God can make a tree. And only God can make branches. But every branch that bears fruit is bearing fruit. My fruit's not your fruit. Your fruit's not my fruit. But what the fruit is, Paul wrote of. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's the only fruit I know of. And I'm telling you something, the love that I have is mine. God gave it to me.
Amen.
The joy that I have is mine. I can't give it to you.
No.
I can't give you my love, because it's mine. The gentleness I have, I need work on. The goodness I have, I need work on. Faith I have, that's the gift of God.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, all this stuff is the gift of God.
That's right.
I can't give it to you.
Amen.
I can't give it to you. I can tell you it's there, I can tell you it's in Him. And I can tell you He can put it in you.
Amen.
If He will. If He will. Because He's the husbandman. I'll tell you something. If a farmer gets tired of one crop, he'll knock it down and put up another. It's his job. It's his prerogative. It's his power. And it is his right to do so. And people hate that. He's the husbandman. And I'm going to tell you something. If you got a branch that doesn't have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law, that branch is going to be taken away. Because it ain't part of the vine.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it was part of the vine. It comes out. No. If you're not a part of the vine, you're not going to have the fruit.
Amen.
And if you are part of the vine, you will have the fruit.
Amen.
Because he's the husbandman.
That's right.
He's going to see to it that the fruit grows on the branch which is on the vine. He's the husbandman. Ooh, boy.
Yeah.
Now, every branch that bears fruit is purged. Why? I'm glad you asked, because he said so. I got the answer. It's written right here. So there'll be more fruit. Now, this is another part of the farming analogy. Okay? I don't know a whole lot about farming. I really don't. But I do know a little bit about rose bushes, and I do know a little bit about farming, to where what you do when the tomatoes are ripe, you pull them off so that plant can make more tomatoes.
Amen.
Because those tomatoes are taking up energy and taking up resources. And you pull them off, that allows resources to go somewhere else. That's actual plant thing. My wife calls it deadheading roses. You pull the rose head off. Because making a flower takes energy from the plant. You pull it off, guess what? You get more flowers. It's not that the husbandman takes away my love, my joy, my peace. He just makes it so that there's more. I'm not losing anything by losing fruit off my branch. The husbandman is taking care of that branch so that it will produce more fruit. More love, more joy, more peace, maybe some meekness. I need work on that too. Temperance. We are told, now some people have a problem with this, but you know, it's in the scriptures. We are told, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. That's 2 Peter 3:18. Now we don't get more grace. But our knowledge of it grows. Our knowledge of it grows. There are not advanced levels of Christianity. That's what some people say. Oh, you believe in growth and grace. You believe in levels of Christian. No. I believe I'm not as dumb as I used to be. That's exactly it. I hope to God I'm not as dumb as I used to be. And I know I'm not as ignorant as I used to be 30 years ago when I started. I remember the first time I spoke before this assembly, although this assembly was different at the time. It was like a Sunday school lesson kind of thing. And I stood up in front and I said, I'll have you people know that that I am a novice. Because Earl would say he wasn't a novice. And he wasn't. And I told him that I was a novice, just in case you wanted to know what one looked like at the time. Well, I looked a lot younger. We who are called branches in this metaphor, in this analogy, in this story, in this account, this is a story, it is an analogy. In keeping with this metaphor, the husbandman, the farmer, must remove the ripe fruit in order for the branch to have room to make more. We are to grow in our knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something, the more you know him, the more you'll love him. I know this from experience. The more you know him, the more you trust him. My faith in him is stronger the more I know him. It's not my faith is any better. It's not that it's me, not the faith he gave me. But I believe him even more now that I know more of what he has done for me. It's an experience thing. It really is. I have more joy in him and in you than I used to have. And that's because the husbandman purges the branches. And that's because he sent the comforter who's going to teach you all things. Yeah, even the deep things of God sometimes. I got to quit. But like I said, you don't lose the fruit that was on those branches. I just get more. And you'll get more. There is... I do remember when I was first converted, the happiness I felt, the joy I felt at that particular time. And it was really, really sweet. It was nice. Now, I was about as ignorant as the day is long about a lot of things. And in some cases, that way, ignorance was bliss. But now that I've been in the battle for about 30 years, because it was like 23, I think, when God converted me, I've been through some battles. I've been through some fights. Things have been purged, but more things have been given, and more of it. I know right now that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, in a way I never knew 30 years ago, even though I believed it. Because it's happened to me. It's happened to Walter. It's happened to you, and to you, and to you, and to you. And I've seen some of it. Now, most of it I've seen in me. And in my wife. And in my life. Where I am now. I don't know exactly how to put it. It's. I feel easier about trusting God for things than I ever did before. Before, I used to try and help him do some stuff. And you know the Thursday night visitation, which Walter calls Thursday night invasion. We did a little bit of that, and it wasn't even Thursday. And I'm going to tell you something. The only thing that came of any good out of that was our learning to deal with rejection.
Yeah.
We learned that real fast. And it kind of dampened our enthusiasm for what it turned out to be, kind of casting pearls before swine.
That's what it was.
See, that was written in here, but I didn't get it.
That's right.
I got it now. Yeah. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He'll teach you. The Spirit will teach you. You are not so hard-headed that you can't learn. That God can't teach you.
There you go.
I can't teach you anything. I can say lots of things. But God teaches. Because he's the husbandman. The garden is his.
Yeah.
The vine is his. The branches are his. And the fruit on those branches are his.
Amen.
Every bit of it. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this place. And for you, our Lord Jesus Christ. You are the true vine. We derive, we have our life from you, in you, being attached to you. Thank you. In Christ's name we ask and we pray. Amen.